I invite your attention tonight to the book of Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1. This is our second in the book of Job, as we actually, it's the third, but it's the second in the series of in the book of Job, as we think about good lessons from bad people. Good lessons from bad people. The Bible says that the children of this world are wiser than ye children of light. I believe we see that in a lot of different areas. We see that in the area of medicine. We see that in the area of economics. We see that in the area of just so many different places. And there's nothing wrong with learning something from the world, an unlikely place, an unthought of place many times perhaps. But it's only wrong to learn if what you learn is contradictory to the Word of God. Amen. There's so many things today to learn, and I've learned from experience that we don't have long enough to live to make all the mistakes ourselves. We ought to learn some things from other people. Tonight we're going to be looking at some of the things about the devil, and I never approached preaching about him lightly. I never take it for granted. He is much wiser than I am. He is much more powerful than I am. He's been around deceiving people for a long, long time, and he will for a long time to come, up to and including through the 1,000 years of the 7 years of the reign going into the 1,000-year millennial of the Lord Jesus. But the title of the message tonight is The Devil in the Congregation. The devil in the congregation. Let's begin reading in verse number 6 of chapter 1. The Bible says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." As we look at this portion of Scripture, we're looking at this fellow by the name of Satan. And make no mistake about it, he's real. Right. He's as real as you and I are. And he hates you. He's trying to devise ways all the time. The fact is, I believe that the Scriptures teach that for each of us as individual, especially believers, Satan already has figured out a way that he believes he can defeat us in our service for Christ. And there's only one person that knows more about that than he does, and that's the Lord Jesus, which ought to encourage us to stay close to him, to talk to him often. One of the greatest deceptions that the devil ever pulled off was when he began to make the world believe that he wasn't real, that he didn't exist. And that was a real victory for him when people got to start picking that up and started propagating that. In our text tonight, we see that our adversary's name is Satan. He was named that by the Lord. The Hebrew word for Satan is Satan. And we need to understand that. It's used in the Scripture 54 different times, and so God has several things to say about this person. He's also known in the Scriptures as the devil. When the Lord speaks of the devil, he's speaking of Satan. When he speaks of Lucifer, he's speaking of Satan. When he speaks of the serpent, he's speaking of Satan. When he speaks of Beelzebub, that's also Satan. Remember, they said that Jesus cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub, and Jesus said, "A house divided against itself can't stand." If I cast out devils by Beelzebub, then whom do your sons cast out devils by? And so Beelzebub's one. And then dragon. He's also called the dragon. He's called the Antichrist. He's called Apollyon. And there's some others, but those are the major ones. Pardon me. And we find that as we look at him tonight, there's several things we want to note. We want to note, first off, who he is. Who he is based on our scriptures. And then we want to know absolutely that he is limited. Amen. He is limited. Our God is all powerful, all knowing, and everywhere at one time. Amen. The devil's not that way. The devil doesn't know everything. The devil is not all everywhere at one time, and he's not all knowing, and not all powerful, and he's not everywhere at one time like the Lord is. But he's still our enemy, and so we want to understand that he's limited and how it is that he's limited, and then we want to look at what these things mean to us as we live our life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I hope as we and pray and. When I use the word hope, I'm using it as something I'm certain is going to come to pass. Amen. I hope that our plans are to do more for the Lord Jesus than we ever have done before. And in some cases, that's going to take some real doing because God has used some of us in great ways and the church at great times and different times and great ways at different times. And we got a lot to do, but we have a great God and we ought to ask God to help us do those things. So, who is he? Who he is, as we think about the devil tonight? First off, he's one who is comfortable in the assembly. The Bible testifies that there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And so, Satan does not mind showing up where other Christians are. You don't scare the devil. He's not afraid of us. He's not afraid to come and be with us and fellowship with us or stay with us, spend time with us. God mentions in verse number 6, he mentions the sons of God. That's also mentioned in chapter 2 and verse number 1 where it says, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord, almost identically written as in verse number 6 of chapter 1. But we find that there's a lot of different ideas about who these sons of God really are. If you go back, well, let's go first to Genesis chapter 38. I think we'll find out who they are from Genesis chapter 38. We'll find out exactly who God says they are. As Job is answering, the Lord is answering Job, in verse number 1, out of the whirlwind, and said, "Who is this that darketh counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man." Even God calls for his men to be men. "Gird up thy loins now like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid up the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, and who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" I don't think, because that was before the creation of man, I don't think you could say that those sons of man are anything other than angels. I don't know how we could come to any other conclusion than that. But now go back in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. When I first got saved, I was always glad when the preacher said, "Go to Genesis," because I could find that one. Genesis chapter number 6, and beginning in verse number 1. Notice the Bible says, "And it came to pass," Genesis 6, 1, "when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose." Now, while it's easy to say, according to Job chapter 38, it's easy to say that those are angels, but the terminology is so close to being the same that I have to believe those are angels in verse number 1 and 2 of Genesis chapter 6. Now understand what God is saying here in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 6. God is saying that the sons of God co-inhabited with the daughters of men and had children. Whomever the sons of God are, God says they co-inhabited with the daughters of men, and had children. And of course, the Bible says that they were wives and all those things. Now, when you get into the New Testament, the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse number 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. And if that is, as I think that the Bible teaches that it is, the sons of, I think it's angels, co-inhabiting with the daughters of men and producing an offspring that the Bible says were giants in the land. That being so, and Luke chapter 17, verse number 26, being so that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, I believe that's still happening today. Well, we didn't get a whole round of applause and amens on that deal. But that doesn't change it. It is what it is. If we're wrong in thinking about it, we're wrong in thinking about it, but it is what it is. And whether, back at our text in the book of Job, whether or not the sons of God are angels or people, it doesn't matter for this point. And the point being, either way, it was good people or angels that the devil was comfortable with. That much we know. Regardless of what you want to believe about them being sons of God, daughters of men, that type of thing. Regardless of what you think about that, we know that the Bible teaches that the devil was comfortable with these people. The point is that he felt comfortable about being around believers, people who held God in high esteem, people who responded when God said, I want you to come. The Bible says there was a day when they came to present themselves. In chapter 2, they came to present themselves before the Lord. So there were people that were in total submission to the Lord, and the devil comes along with them. He comes along beside them, and he was he's comfortable being there with them. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, the Bible says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I think that the average child of God today does not understand the power that the devil has and how far he can reach with that power. And there is only one power that's greater than his power, and that's the power of Almighty God. Amen. God can defeat him, and God has in the past at different times, and God will eventually in a place called eternity. And so we see in verse number 7, the Bible says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro throughout the earth and from walking up and down in it. I believe the devil is walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Clear back in the book of Job, I believe the devil was looking for those people that he could pick like ripe fruit and he could destroy their lives. And he's still doing that today. That's his activity. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is active in his attempts and his desire to see you destroyed. He hates you. He hates you. And the more you talk about Jesus, the deeper his hate for you goes. And yet at the same time, the more you talk about Jesus, the greater your protection is. And so it becomes a contest not between you and the devil, but between the Lord Jesus and the devil. And I promise you, if you'll play by the rules, Jesus will win. Amen. He will. He surely will. And so he deceived people in the oldest book of the Bible, which they believe is the book of Genesis. He deceived people in the New Testament. Nobody would have done what Judas did if he hadn't have been deceived. No one would have done what Peter did at the fire of the enemy if he hadn't have been deceived. He hadn't been fooled. He took advantage of him. And because Peter, the Bible tells us that Peter followed afar off. That ought to give us a hint about how we get in trouble with the devil. We follow afar off. And so he deceived people in the Old Testament. He deceived people in the New Testament. And he's going to do that until the day that he's cast into hell. And then he's taken out of hell and cast into the lake of fire, prepared for him and his angels forever and ever. We need to realize that our adversary is fierce and powerful. He's formidable. Jude chapter 1 and verse number 9 says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, 'The Lord rebuke thee.'" I don't believe that Michael, the archangel, was afraid of the devil as far as believing that God couldn't protect him, but he was smart enough to know not to shoot his mouth off all the time. We ought to learn something from that. The Bible says that he's full of hate for us. And when given permission, he went and did exactly what he wanted to do to Job, and he destroyed Job's life. Job's entire life was turned upside down because the Lord gave permission for it to happen. And from that, if we don't gain anything else, we need to understand it's not a game. It's not fake. It's serious business, and it's very, very deadly. And we need to understand that. Then we see in verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, as there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job serve God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, and hast blessed his work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land?" Here we find that Job, I think, was a thorn in the devil's side, because I think the devil did another thing. He practiced another thing that he's very fond of, and that was that he was jealous of Job. I believe that he was. He doesn't like the fact that God was blessing Job, or better yet, might be better said, he didn't like the fact that Job lived so that God could bless him. And so he thought, if I can just turn, I can't change God. He was smart enough to know that, but he said, I can change Job. And so he set out on a task to change Job, and in doing that, he caused all kinds of heartache and still didn't get his wish done. But God had kicked him out of heaven already. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." The Bible talks about a third of the angels being cast out with him. That's what we get, what most people call devils or demons, and we call them devils because that's what the Bible calls them. But the Bible testifies it. Note there too, in Revelation 12, 9, the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. Yeah. If you're an entity of the world, raise your hand. You are susceptible to being deceived by the devil. He can trick you. He can play games with your mind. He can destroy your life. God made sure that Satan was only where the Lord himself wanted him to be, and he could not touch the devil until God allowed it. And the devil is groveling, or he's sitting at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of the Lord, and in reverence to him, and submission is not really the right word either, but he is kept down by the power of God, whether he wants that or not. And we need to understand that he is the one that causes all the heartache in the world today. He's the one that was behind that attack on Saturday over in Israel. He's the one behind it. And he had some willing agents to use and so forth, but we need to understand that. And I believe that in verses 9 and 10, we know that he doesn't know everything. He shows that he's not a holder of all knowledge like the Lord is, because he says, he makes a statement that if you remove, put forth thy hand now and touch him, and he'll curse you to your face. That didn't happen. Amen. That didn't happen. So he's not all-knowing. But we find that it could be that he assumed that Job was only serving because Job was blessed. And of course, I believe that that's probably the only reason that he served for so long. I don't know how long he was from his creation until his being cast out of the devil, trying to rise up against God and so forth in the book of Isaiah. But from that time to that time, he must have used that same thing. You know, sometimes when people accuse you of something, it's because they're guilty of the same thing. That's just a fact of life. And I believe when Job accused the devil of only serving for what he could get out of it, it's probably because that's what he was doing. But it is a good time for us to pose the question, is that what we do too? Do we serve God more when things are going how we want them than we do when they're going some other direction? That's what the devil accused Job of. I believe that's what the devil was guilty of. And I think probably sometimes we are guilty of the same thing. And so we need to make sure that we serve the Lord. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he's ruling our life, we'll see consistency in our own lives too. And then we find this to be a fact too. We can resist him. We can resist him. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And he doesn't do that because we're good. He does that because God's good. Amen. He does that because of God's promises. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 4, it says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why the devil will flee from us when we resist him. I think of resisting arrest, and you've all probably heard cartoon things and seen cartoon things of people resisting arrest, and that's what it means to resist the devil. Fight against him. Don't surrender so easy. Don't put your own handcuffs on for him. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And so we could say, what does this really mean to us, or what application can we take away from this tonight? There's a couple of short things. First off, we're either serving the Lord or we're serving the devil. That's a pretty hard pill to swallow sometimes. But we're either living for the Lord Jesus or we're living for the devil. You say, well, Brother Sutton, can you show us that from the scripture? I believe we can. Matthew chapter 12, verse number 30 says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattereth abroad. That's said also in the Gospel of Luke, almost exactly the same thing. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're for my enemies. You're either with me or you're scattered abroad. The second thing I think we ought to be aware of is that we have an enemy that ought to help us. What we know about the enemy ought to help us against the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11 says, put on the whole armor of God. That's this book again. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles, tricky, underhanded, low-life things. Wiles, it has to do with wisdom and being shrewd. He's a double dealer. He never plays by the rules. He'll make a set of rules and break every one of them and accuse you if you think about it. Yeah. We need to understand that we can have victory over him because Jesus did. When Jesus got up out of the tomb, it put an exclamation mark after every promise that Jesus had ever made. Amen. And it put defeat after every statement that the devil had ever made when Jesus rose again from the grave. And we can today live for God in this age if we will. No matter what's going on in Israel, and no matter if it happens to transfer over here, and no doubt some of it will, we still are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We have a real enemy, but our enemy has an enemy too. And he is a friend. Oh, such a friend. That's the Lord Jesus, is the enemy of the devil. And so for often believers walk aimlessly through life without understanding two things. We fail to understand the adversary that we face, and we fail to understand the power of the God that we serve. And so, in our lack of understanding, we believe that we can defeat the devil and he makes a fool out of us. We forget that Jesus has already done that. If we'll just call upon him, he will come to our rescue, and he is more than enough. He's more than sufficient to meet every need we have if we'll believe it and call on him. I hope tonight you realize that the devil is in the congregation. He's all around us. He wants to take advantage of us. And if he can destroy us, he will. But it won't be God's fault. It'll be ours, because we follow afar off and don't keep our eyes on the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.